Okay, I'll take that as a cue and we'll start. So, I guess most of you don't know what's going to happen afterwards, so I appreciate that you came without understanding, without being told. But I hope it'll be amazing. Last year was amazing, and I imagine it'll be the same or better, I hope. But you have to buy into it. You have to be a part of it. If you're going to just watch or observe or be on the outside and look at everybody else, it's not going to do much. But it's a great opportunity, and I spoke it out with him, with Yosef, who's coming. And we said now's the right time to do it, just because of what's going on in the world, and just the mood, the world mood, the yeshiva mood, the mood in general. It's a good opportunity to do what we'll do tonight. So I'm by way of introduction, I'll just speak a little bit, more as an introduction. So I think the last couple of weeks, in light of what was happening around us, but also what's happening around us, like I always say, it's what's going on in the parsha. If you want to know what's going on outside, you don't have to look at the news, you can just look at the parsha. When you see the parsha, you'll understand what's going on outside. So in light of the parshios, and in light of what's going on outside, there was a lot of discussion, there was a lot of talk about the power of our nation, about the power of Klal Yisrael. We spoke about Mika Amcha Yisrael. We spoke about the greatness of the holy nation that we're a part of. And the schus, the great opportunity that we have to be connected to this glorious nation. And it's interesting that we start with that, and then we backtrack a little bit. It sounds like we backtrack a lot, but we backtrack to before the nation, there was the individual. There was the strength of an individual from whom it all started. And now Avram Avinu, it's very difficult, I think, that when you become 18, 19 years old and you get to yeshiva, I think it's very difficult to relearn the stories about Avram Avinu, about the Avos. To look into the stories about the Avos starts with Avram, and to look at it with depth and curiosity, and to try to understand and try to connect to what he is, who he is, what he did, what he accomplished. Because it's from there that everything started. And Avram Avinu was the giant. He was a giant. He was a giant upon whose shoulders we all stand on. The only thing that we're capable of accomplishing is on the shoulders of Avram Avinu. And to spend time this week and in the upcoming weeks to learn and connect to Avram Avinu, there's no greater opportunity. Avram Avinu, he compiles the strength of the individual Jew. He was on a journey. His whole existence started, and it could be in his lifetime it ended in this way. He was on a journey to discover his Creator. He wasn't the first person to have a shaychus, a connection to Hashem. Adam had, and Noach had, and others had. And he wasn't the first person to bring into the world monotheism. I don't know who made that up. Adam was a monotheist, and Noach was a monotheist, and Noach lived at the same generation as Avram. They crossed paths for around 50 years. For 50 years, Noach was the grandfather of all of humanity. And he was aware, he was knowledgeable that there was one Hashem. And I don't know if Shem, Chom, and Yafes preached the same gospel, but we know Shem did. That's Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever. So Noach was preaching monotheism, and Shem was preaching monotheism, and they knew, because they had Nevuah, and they experienced the Mabul, they knew that there was one God. So Avram's not the one who brought monotheism to the world. Avram is the first one that took a journey on his own. He found it from within. He found from somewhere else, from inside. He found the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not that the Ribbono Shel Olam came to him. And you start the parsha, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, you get the wrong impression that Hashem came to him. He was an old man when Hashem first introduced himself with Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. But for 40 years it started, and then until he was 75 and got this Nevuah, he was on a journey, on a great journey to discover his Creator. And that journey was a journey that was mitzvila ad sof, from A to Z, a journey against world opinion. Every step of his journey, we don't have to talk about being thrown into the furnace. We don't have to talk about the challenges he had with his father, with his family. Well known. Everybody knows very well what he had to deal with the Kivshon Ha'esh, with Nimrod, and all the antagonists who lived in his lifetime that he had to combat, that he had to go up against. Avraham Avinu was an individual against the entire world opinion. I don't want to talk about what we're trying to do now by trying to get world opinion on our side. It's not our topic. But I know one thing that Avraham Avinu preached, he understood, and he preached, and he taught us that there's something much more valuable than world opinion, which is the Ribbono Shel'olam's opinion. There's something much more valuable than what people believe. It's what the Ribbono Shel'olam believes. And there's something much more valuable than becoming good with, and becoming friendly, and becoming popular in the world. It's becoming good and friendly and popular in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel'olam. And there's a medrash that says part of the story. There's small parts that we're aware of. And one small part of the story, the following insight, a window into Avram's upbringing. Amar of Yitzchak, Mashal ha'echad shaya oiver mimakom lamakom. A guy was going from one place to another. V'ra'a bira achas dolek, a strange choice of story for the Mashal. He saw a building on... in flames. Amar, and he said, Tomar Shehabira Hazeh below Manik. It could be, it's possible that this building has no director, it has no manager. Hits its alav Bal Habira, but the manager, the owner of the building, looked out and peered upon the guy who was walking past. And Amar, Anihu Bal Habira. I run this building. I'm the captain of this ship. And the mashal, I think, is relevant. Because like I said, if you want to know what's going on outside, you don't have to look at the news, you just look at the parsha. And this parsha, it says that when you look at the world, where people who are over mimakom lamakom are going from one place to the next, that's our existence. And if you look around, you'll see vera, you'll see bira achas delekes, you'll see a world in flames. You'll see a world on fire. And I'm not here to share thoughts about what's going on outside, but just take a look. You want to take a long look, a short look, but you'll take a look. And there's wars in all parts of the world, and all kinds of different battles being fought, if they're physical or emotional, ideological, all types of battles being fought, and the world's in flames. Right now we live in a world of Bira Dolekis, a world that's entirely in flames, a world that's burning, and some people might think, a person who doesn't understand the way the world works might think that it's a world that's burning down. And in the world that's burning down, there's a voice that screams out of this building that's engulfed in flames, a voice that constantly cries out and yells out to every person who's willing to listen, every Jew who opens up his neshama, who opens up his soul, and is willing to listen to the voice. And there's a voice that cries out of that world that's burning down, what appears to be burning down. And the voice cries out, Ani hu bal habira. I run this ship. I'm still the captain of this ship. Don't think that when you see a world that appears to be chaos, a world that appears to be submerged in one atrocity after the next, a world that appears to have no direction and no guidelines and no rules, you see a world that's just falling apart, a building that's collapsing. Because there's a voice that comes out of that building, that comes out of that world constantly, not just to Avram, but constantly that voice cries out from the Bira Dolekes, and it says, Ani hu bal habira. There's direction, and there's guidance, and there's a plan, and there's somebody running the building, and there's somebody driving the ship. And there's somebody that has a precision understanding, precision to every fine nuance and every fine detail, what's happening and why it's happening and how it's happening and what it's all leading up to. And I found an Eitz Yosef on this medrash. The Eitz Yosef writes an amazing vart, and with this I'll segue into what we're about to do. Eitz Yosef writes that what's bothering to some degree the medrash is that the pasuk is out of order. It says, Lech lecha me'artzecha, you should leave your land, you should leave moladetcha, the place of your birth, and you should leave mi'beis avicha, you should leave your father's house. And the Eitz Yosef observes, he says, It's the opposite. First you leave your father's house. It should say, first you leave Beis Avicha. Then you leave your birthplace, your community, where you grew up. And then you leave Artzicha, your country. It starts one door after the next. It doesn't start, you leave your country, and then you leave your birthplace, and then you leave your house. The wrong order. Says the Eitz Yosef, an amazing, amazing var. He says, it's impossible to leave Beis Avicha. It's impossible for a person, for a Jew, to leave his father's house. And his father's house means, in this context, it means the house of Terah. And over the Avodah Zarah, it doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom, your father's houses. But for Avram Avinu to leave that house that he grew up in, Beis Avicha, Terach's house, with the messages and the values and the ideals that Terach was preaching, and Terach was quite the preacher, and the gospel that Terach spoke, you can't leave Beis Avicha until you first leave Artzicha. Because you live in a culture. The first thing, we grew up, we maintain and we hold on to certain cultural premises, cultural beliefs. We have these beliefs of victim ideology and belief of oppressors and beliefs of what's good and what's evil. What they call Judeo-Catholic beliefs, what I call just Catholic beliefs. But sometimes it's very distant from Torah. It's very distant from Torah. And it seems, because there's some overlap, a little bit of overlap with our Jewish values, that we feel like sometimes we live out very Jewish values. But then we hear comments that are, I'm not going to mention, but the guys in my shiurim know the comments. Some comments you hear from well-meaning people, very well-meaning Jews. Extreme comments, very extreme comments in one direction or another. And these are comments that are reactive to Abiro Dolekes. When you see a building burning down, you say very strong sentiment, very strong statements, extreme statements of a vicious attitude. Sometimes it's vicious, sometimes it's pacifist, all kinds of extremes. And there's sentiment of all types of extreme mentalities and ideologies and philosophies that are reactive to a Bira Dalekis. Because you see the buildings burning, you got to run in and save people. And when you run in and saving people, you're in a panic, in a crisis. The only way to react is to say crazy things, to start believing crazy things. But that's only if you're a person who doesn't believe that there's a call, there's a calling, a constant calling. Ani hu bal habira. You don't need to get crazy. You don't need to be extreme. I'm still driving the ship. You don't have to start preaching these crazy ideas of violence and anger. And you don't have to start. You have to impress one. Just impress one. Impress him. Think about the Baal Habira, what he wants, what he cares about, what's important to him. Think about impressing him. You don't have to impress your opinions on people who are not listening. You don't have to share your thoughts with people who don't care. Share your thoughts and ideas with the one who's listening, with the one who cares. Ani hu bal habira. There's no chaos. There never was chaos. There never will be chaos. There's direction. There's strength. There's koach. But before we become a nation, we're backtracking now. We're backtracking to become individuals. Because a nation of people who don't have strength as individuals, it's not going to be an impressive nation. We're trying to build a nation of people who are, as individuals, the strongest people. And we take these parshiyos, the message, the strong message, the valuable message, but the deep message, not the superficial first, second grade messages. We're going to learn it again and understand that these powerful, deep messages of Avraham Avinu, what they mean, what they teach us about being a person, about being a Jew, about being a Baal Chesed, about caring all people, about caring about all people, that life is holy, that people are holy, that we share and we preach holy messages. We don't become caught up in culture and cultural wars and ideological wars, and we don't become caught up in social wars. We only fight one war. It's the war of the Ribono Shel Olam. And we're trying to become his people. And the best way to become his people, it starts from one place. The place where Avram Avinu learned all of his Torah. Avram Avinu, he didn't have Har Sinai, and he didn't have Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't have a prophecy that taught him the Aseres Hadibros, Avram Avinu, the Medrash says, Me'atzmo Loma Torah. He learned Torah from Atzmo, from within. And that's the segue to tonight. Tonight I felt it was the right time and the right place to bring in a very holy Jew who's going to give us an opportunity in a way that's not necessarily going to be comfortable, not something that we're used to, not something for sure that we could do on our own, to tap into a place called Atzmo. Because may Atzmo Loma Torah. Avram Avinu, from Atzmo he learned Torah, from deep within. And in our world that we're bombarded constantly with external messages, it's almost impossible to introduce and to find your own Me Atzmo. But in Atzmo is the deepest Torah, is the deepest strength of every Jew. And that's where Avram lies, within each and every one of us. He starts from Atzmo. But we have to find the Atzmo. So I don't know if he's here yet. If he's not here, he'll be here any second. We'll sing a song maybe before he gets here. He should come. You should welcome him in it. Very holy soul, very holy neshama. I'll tell you one story about him. I'll tell you one beautiful story before he comes, not to embarrass him. His name's Yosef, Yosef Atzadik. So he's intriguing to me. I'm intrigued by honest people. And sometimes you meet honest people because they maybe carry themselves a little differently than the average generic guy. So last year he came, and I knew him from a few years ago, but he came last year, and I'm intrigued because he's very honest. He carries himself in a unique way. So I asked him, in a world where everybody's trying to impress everybody else, in a world where we're all trying to be generic and manufactured and trying to fit in, I asked him, how you do it? How you live the way you do, that you're different, you do things different, you talk different, you act different, you live different. And the rest of us, we're all just trying to be the same and act the same and smell the same. How are you able to rise above and be an individual among the masses? And he said to me a line. I can't get the line out of my head. He said to me, it would be too painful if I did it any other way. We live in a world where we have so much discomfort being ourselves. And this great guy we're going to bring in now, he said, it will be too painful trying to be anybody else. It's a guy like this that could give us an opportunity to meet ourselves. And sometimes you think you can meet yourself in conversation and thought, but sometimes the deepest way to meet yourself is a place above conversation, is a place above thought. It's a place that there's no words. It's a place that they describe sometimes cries, the communication of cries, live in this realm. It's a communication that's above our standard communication. And it's a communication of song and nigun. Song and nigun, but not song of generic, of words that we don't understand and don't connect to. Song of depth. Song of words that are meaningful. So I don't see the crowd. I don't know if he's here. But if he's not here, maybe we'll start. If I could ask Ellie will start us on one song, and then he'll be here any second now. He'll be here any second now. He'll start a song.